Hi, I'm Bella Gandhi, founder of Smart Dating Academy and your host of this beautiful podcast. We're here to bring more love into your life, regardless of if you're single, if you're married, if you're thinking about becoming single, if you're thinking about becoming married or finding the lid to your pot. And we're going to bring more life into that love that you have or you want. You might have seen me on Good Morning America or Steve Harvey or the Today Show or 100 other places, but I'm so happy that you are here with us because we're going to make your life and your love better. Smart daters, welcome back to the Smart Dating Academy podcast. And today I have the guest of all guests. I'm so excited to introduce to you my friend, Tamsin Fadahl, who is, if you've been hiding under a rock and you don't know who she is, first of all, get on her Instagram. But she's a journalist. She's a digital content creator. She is an author. She is a 13-time Emmy Award winner. Tamsin, welcome to the Smart Dating Academy podcast.
How are you?
Amazing. Good to see you.
Good to see you. I'm so good. I'm delighted that you are here with us. Let's jump right in. And like I said, for anyone who doesn't know this beautiful being that is Tamsin, just tell us how you got to the Zoom. How did you get to where you are? Tell us your story.
Oh, gosh. Thank you first for having me here, because I always love to talk to you. So I think we figured out a way to do it, no matter what the schedule looks like, no matter who has to be picked up, where, what meeting we have. So I'm very happy about that. I don't know how I got here. I've been a journalist for 30 years. That was what I started out doing. I've always been curious about people, and storytelling was something that was important to me, bringing, attention to voices that couldn't be heard. There was no social media. There wasn't even a cell phone back then. So that was the way we did it, is that we would go out, we'd take a camera, we'd get somebody's story, we'd try to help them in whatever way we could, and we'd air it and see who else in the community could help. That's what I did for years. And then when I came to New York, I started working in the dating world a bit. I had looked at the landscape when I was visiting here a couple of different times, and I'd heard there was 100,000 more single women than men in New York City. And that was way back then. And I thought that those odds were kind of awful. And my husband at the time and I started a matchmaking business and a date coaching business. So that was kind of fun. And I enjoyed that, wrote a few books, did a lot of dating events, had a really good time, did date coaching with women, and then moved on from there back into just full-time journalism. And then about 2 months ago, I left that to go out on my own a bit and work on some things that are important to me in this second wave of life.
Amazing. And I love matchmaking and date coaching drove you back to journalism. So what was your experience in New York City? Tell us a little bit about this. You hear you're married. You hear that there's 100,000 more single women in Manhattan or across all of New York. And so you're like, hey, let's start a business. Were you matchmaking women? Were you matchmaking men? Tell me about this.
Yeah. The women were our clients and the men were the people that we would come and we would vet, because that was the, that was the big issue. It's like finding men and that were interested in dating at the time, that were looking for women within their age bracket. So there wasn't such a steep, big difference, who were looking to commit, because we're talking about women that were in their early 30s for the most part. And so it was an interesting business. Anytime you're dealing with affairs of the heart, it's emotional and difficult. It was before really Facebook had taken off. And so, it was right around starting. So it was a little bit easier because people weren't looking at someone's Instagram from a year ago. So that made it easier. But I think what I learned from that, what I really learned from that is what we put on our lists of what we want and who we end up with or who really is going to make us happy can look very, very, very different. And it changes over the years too. So you can go into something knowing what your value system is, knowing what's important to you and maybe the type of life you would like to lead. But I think that it's really difficult when you number it 1 through 20 and then you hope that you're going to find that person, because ultimately there was a lot of disappointment in that.
100%. And so many women at all ages, whether they're in their 20s, 30s, 70s, it's, you know, good on paper, as you and I both know, sometimes isn't worth the paper that it's written on.
No, no, it's not.
It's not. And so, right. So it sounds like you probably exited your business right as I was entering the business in 2010, because this is our 15-year anniversary at Smart Dating Academy. So we've set up, as you guys know, dear listeners, an entire process.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yep.
To take people through what do you need versus what do you want? Who's going to make you happy? And then starting to search for your high GPQ person, high and good partner qualities, right? And red flags and people that make you happy. Mm-hmm. And there's so much to this. So we are very simpatico in what we've done in the past. So then you exited the business, exited your marriage. Tell us a little bit about that and then your re-entry into the dating world.
Oh, yeah. My re-entry into the dating world was slow. I went through a divorce, which was fodder for, you know, people that were setting up people. But working with a husband at the time and trying to keep it all together didn't work for us. And so I wrote a book about divorce and about kind of starting over as a new single. And I think it was, in a lot of ways, important for me to get it out, you know, but it was also a conversation that was starting to be had a little more openly. So I was happy to be contributing to that or a voice in that conversation. And then I went through my divorce in 2012. And it took me a long time. Like, I dated, but I didn't go on apps, and I just didn't. I was really like, I put my head down and worked. Like, that's really what I did. And I did that for a couple of different reasons. I don't think I was ready to get back out there. I don't think that I was. I really wanted something to feel solid, and nothing did at the time. My job was a little wobbly because I had my head was in a whole nother space. My marriage had gone away. And so, it was important for me to get something solid. So I focused on my job almost too much, probably. And then in 2000, we always go back and forth about the year. I think it was 18. I met Ira in Florida at an event we were both at. I happened to be in the hotel. He was at an event. And I was not ready for a relationship at the time, but I thought, like, he's nice to go out with. Like, I'll go out to dinner with him and stuff when he's in town. And then I realized, wow, I really like him. I kind of look forward when he comes back to town. I like spending more time with him. You know, it was a slow process. I had no list at that point. I just was not interested in getting married again. That was what I said. And over time I realized, like, hey, this is somebody I want to walk the earth with. Like, I want to be with this person. Like, the thing, what's important to him is important to me, you know, his value system, you know, who he is with his family, as a father, as a husband, as all those things. And so, so at 50, I got remarried, which I, you know, didn't think I would do, but it was interesting to see how the dating landscape had changed quite a bit, from it being digital to, to that was where most people were meeting. And the fact that we didn't was interesting too, to me. But I have always been very fascinated about how you date a little bit differently as you get older or after you go through a divorce. I'm sure you have a lot of clients like that.
For sure. Okay. So for all the single people out there, they want to know, okay, so Tamsin, you were at an event in Florida, and now who, like, how did this meet cute happen? Did he walk up to you? Like, tell us the juice.
No, it's not very exciting, I fear. But he and his friend were standing at the elevator bank, and me and my friend kind of walked up to where they were, and she kind of did like a quick, like, this is Tamsin, Ira, this is who everybody is, because she knew everybody. And I was like, hi, and it kept going. And then later on that night, somebody said, like, you know, that guy you met, you know, he's single. And I'm like, who cares? So, you know, I just like kind of moved, was very kind of dismissive of it because I wasn't interested in dating. That's not what I was looking to do. And then he came down to the restaurant where we were and talked, and I was like, oh, he's kind of funny and fun and nice. And, you know, and so that's kind of how it happened. It wasn't that that's going to be my husband. I'm going to make sure. Like, it was nothing like that. You know, I wish it was, but I don't know that. I think those fairy tales are dangerous. You know, I think sometimes you just don't know what's going to happen. And that's why I've always had that advice when friends say like, oh, I'm single, I can't, I'm never going to meet anybody. But you know, you could meet anybody. Literally, we literally met in front of an elevator bank. Like, that's the most boring story ever. And so I do think you could meet somebody anywhere. So you've got to let people know that you're single. You've got to let people know to get out there. You've got to not be afraid to go to a dinner, go to a drink, even if you think a person is not anywhere right for you. I think that that's super important because I think that who knows who that person knows. Like, that's how I think the world works. You know, I really do.
No, it's the opposite of boring, Tamsin. It's like, it's what everybody dreams of is you're standing in front of an elevator and oh my God, that's dear future husband right there. So that's a great story. And it's amazing that you had a really good sense about a good human being and you were open to him talking to you in the restaurant versus being guarded and kind of like, yeah. Wow. This is kind of a cool person. So, and you had a good 6 years to kind of date yeah. yourself, get solid footing. So it sounds like you were sort of ready. Maybe you didn't know it.
Yeah, I think were. So. Yeah, I think so. I you know, I think I'd spent enough time with myself to get bored with myself and just to really understand though what would and wouldn't work. And I think that he had too. So that was nice. It's nice going into it. Like, without a list of rules, like nobody came into it with these rules. And I also think at this time in life, there's a number of other pressures that are added on, but pressures that are taken off, you know, like we were, you know, having children wasn't a discussion. Like we both knew where we stood on that. He already had children. I, you know, wasn't in a place to have children. And so that discussion, you know, sometimes that can be part of it, you know, financial conversations, we're both very independent with that. So there's certain pressures I think that are taken off depending on where you are, but then the ones that come on are, you know, aging parents, like what we're both doing as we get older, we're both in our second wave of life, you know? So I think that it's a bit of a give and take. And, but I really am hopeful for a lot of people that they, you know, don't get discouraged because they're on like one or two or three bad dates or they're online and everybody is like awful or not for them or leading them the wrong way. I hope that they will, you know, continue to get out there to give themselves a chance. Cause I think that that's really important. Like these relationships are all relationships are really what we're here for.
Yeah, exactly. And I just want to acknowledge what you said. I mean, it sounds like everything you knew kind of moved away. It was like an earthquake rolled through your life, right? And you
yeah.
built yourself back up again, slowly, surely. You were resilient. You had a job that was wobbly. Then you got to be really, really solid in your job, which is how I met Tamsin. For those of you who don't know, probably for the last year and a half, maybe two, mm-hmm. I've been yeah. doing segments with her on Pix 11 in New York. And we would basically do every single month. And I always thought to myself, I really like her. I hope that somehow, you know, the universe would have it that we would be friends offline. And here
Thank
we are.
You.
So this is such a gift that you're giving me. But for you listeners,
thank you.
You might be sitting there in your car or just thinking, oh my God, woe is me. And look at this. And this happened to me. And even when you see people on TV that look pretty and they have pretty lives, just know that at the end of the day, everybody has the muck that they wade through and they have to be just like you and put their pants on and get back up and try again. And how does it feel to be remarried now?
You know, it is pretty amazing. Like it's just easy. Mm-hmm. And I think that that was key for me. I had years of a lot of drama and I was tired. And I think that, it's really nice to not, what's important to me at this stage of my life is like, not to be worried about all those little things. You know, I don't come home to fights. I don't answer a phone to like, where are you? Don't, you know, it's just easy. And when I say walk, you know, walk through the earth with or walk alongside of. I really mean that. Like, it's just very easy and nice. And that was my priority. My priority was to be with somebody that was not going to, everything was going to be drama. You know, everything was going to be a thing. It was very, very critical at this stage because there's a lot of things I want to work on, a lot of things he wants to work on. And yeah, it's just easy. I don't know another word for it. And we have fun together and laugh together, which is what I love.
And I love the word easy. As the Smart Dating listeners, Tamsin, know that my number one word for a good relationship that's going to go the distance is easy. But easy doesn't mean that there's no conflict, that you don't have speed bumps. It means that you can deal with the ups and downs of life fairly easily. You're both grown-ups. You can both negotiate through a conflict in a healthy, constructive way that ideally gets your relationship even to a better place. So easy, I want you guys to know, doesn't mean there's no conflict, right? I've been married for going on maybe 27 years in May. So it's easy, but there are moments that are hard, but do you come together at that point versus splitting apart? So I'm really, I'm so glad that you found the lid to your pot. And
well, congratulations to you.
Yeah, it's a long time. I know sometimes I'm like, wow, that's a long time. My brother once said to me, you guys were so young, you were kind of unqualified to get married, which is kind of, unqualified. So
well, now you're very qualified.
Oh my gosh. It's certainly fun. It's certainly fun. I've got a great partner, as do you, which really makes life so much better, right? It's like you can love yourself, be stable on your own. But when you have that and person, and that's why I call it the lid to your pot, because the pot is complete on its own, right? You can make pasta, you can make everything in a pot, but that lid that fits just right just gives you that much more versatility. You can be the pot on your own, or you can be lid plus pot.
Totally true.
Oh my gosh. Well, tell us about the shift that you've made. I'm so proud for you, and I love women entrepreneurs that take the leap. So I read something on your website that really was seismic for me, and it started with a moment that you described where suddenly, like, all the lights started dimming, you felt brain fog, and you were like, oh my God, what's going on? Talk to us about that.
Yeah, that was in 2019, right before the pandemic, like 3-4 months. And that's just kind of what happened. I was in a commercial break just before we were getting ready to do our business report. And I just, like, something was wrong and I didn't know what it was. My heart was racing out of control. And one of the guys in the studio was like, okay, I think you should get off the set. And so, during the commercial break, I got off the set and like went and literally laid down on the bathroom floor. Not sure if I was going to get sick or faint or pass out. So I just didn't really know. I just didn't really know what was happening. And so I went home that night and I'm like, what was that? Like, I'm okay now. Like, what was that? And, I made it a point to like make an appointment with my general practitioner, and was like, well, I don't know, maybe anxiety. And then I made another one. So I went to do a blood panel and found out I was in menopause, which I'm like, what? I'm only 49 or 48 at the time. 48 at the time. And, I was like, that's not possible. It's just not possible. I'm too young. And, but I wasn't. And I started to learn more about what that was and a lot of the things that were causing the problem, my brain fog, not remembering things, not being able to ad lib on television without, you know, having a script in front of me. If I had a script in front of me, every once in a while, the words like would make no sense. My body would like get heated up with nervousness because I couldn't remember what was going on. Like, you know, what the word was. And, I'm like, oh my gosh, like, sleeping all the time, gaining weight, you know, just all these things. And so I started sharing that a bit on social, and then I kept sharing it and I haven't stopped yet because I think there's a lot of people that need to hear it, and there's always going to be women going through it. And by the year, you know, 2025, 2030 now, there's going to be 1 billion women globally that are going through this transition in life. And the fact that I was a journalist for 30 years and never said the word doesn't even make sense.
Oh my gosh. And Tamsin,
so we have some catching up to do.
We totally do. And you guys, she's so incredibly humble. If you go to her Instagram or her social media, she has like a bajillion followers, a bajillion likes, because her content is so good, really talking about menopause. And I love your makeup tips, and you talk about health and wellness. So this moment starting to speak about it, and you were speaking about it in such a lovely way that you built this following. How did that impact? I'm guessing that's what led you to say, well, if all these people want to hear what I have to say on this, maybe I can say more about it on a daily basis. And as part of my
Yeah. It's funny. I had started having this conversation with my employers there like a year plus before, because I was just kind of getting to a place where I really wanted to do other kinds of storytelling, but I didn't really know what that would look like. And then this, you know, like I didn't set out planning this. I think that's what this community is all about. Like they are, that's why it's so neat to me that coming from traditional media, that it's so interactive, you know? And I think that like I learn so much from them every day, and I hope that like they learn from me. But I think, you know, I started in part before trying to figure out kind of what was next for me. What was my purpose? What's my next purpose? Because I feel like I had fulfilled that other purpose, and I was always grateful for it, but wanted to do another kind of storytelling. And then this started to happen like last year, and then it just kept happening. And so yeah, so I taught. They were very aware of everything, but I gave my notice a few months before, and then we made the announcement public a few months after that. Like they were very good about being great partners in this whole thing. But yeah, I left about almost 3 months ago. So it's kind of surreal at the same time. It was November 11th. So it's coming up on 3 months, which is amazing to me.
The first 90
days. Yeah. And it's still fluid, like where it's all going. I know it's the first 90 days.
That's amazing. Yes, well, tell us what it is. Tell us what it is and how we can, like, tell us all the things.
Oh, well, you know, do still a lot of digital content. I have a book that's coming out by Hachette that's going to be published in 2025. So I'm excited about that.
And amazing.
Thank you. It's all about kind of like this next age and of our lives. And then I'm working with a couple of different brands right now to figure out what that looks like. And I have a podcast that'll be launching in the next few months. So I'm excited. I'm excited. And I'm just trying to not put that pressure on myself. Like it's gotta be done here. And even though that's scary, that's the only way I can do it right now. So, you know, I had to figure out what I wanted to do to kind of reinvent that wheel a little bit. And so that's where we are right now. Yeah. Oh, it's kind of exciting.
This is your new, this is like the purpose for the second half. This is like your next act.
Yeah. 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 I'm excited about it.
Are you excited? And what would
Thank you.
Oh my gosh, it's fantastic. And there's so many people that are listening to this that have that little voice inside of them, that there's this little flicker of, you know what, I really have a gift and I should be doing X or Y or Z. And sometimes we snuff that out because we feel like we'll fail, or no one will support us, or we have all these bills to pay. And how am I going to get my kids through school? Maybe I'm a single mom. What advice would you give to someone who feels what you did? Like there's something in me that like this unfulfilled purpose. Do you have any gems that you can drop on somebody?
Yeah. I don't know if they're gems. I just know that that's what worked for me. Like, you know, it took time. Like I said, I talked to them over a year before. So I really was trying to work up to that. It wasn't like some people are like, you just left. And I said, no, it was like 13 months. And so I just think it's really important to be prepared. I don't know that I have all the answers even today is exactly what everything is going to perfectly look like, but I just knew that it was really important for me to serve that part of myself and to serve the community that I think is, you know, talking back to me. I think you've got to be prepared. I think you've got to have a good network around you. I think that's been critical for me to have. I think a good support group. And you know, we say that, like, what does that look like? But it doesn't have to be your best friend, but it can be people that you can reach out to for help if you need something. Like, there's a lot of questions I have about websites or photography or brand, whatever. I don't know, or medical. I don't know everything, you know, and I have to reach out. Like, I have this network of doctors now that I'm able to reach out and go, like, help, I don't know what this is, or can you do an interview with me? So I think that's important to establish that part. And I think it's important to know that, like, this is your someday. So if you're like, someday I'm definitely gonna whatever, like, this is your someday. That's how I looked at it. And I was like, if I'm not doing it now, when am I doing it? And if I'm waiting 3 years, 5 years, 6 years, happen. And so that was really important. And I had to keep some things in mind, like how am I replacing my income, or how am I starting to replace my income? Where can I, you know, get rid of other things that don't make sense? What can I do in those hours that I wouldn't be at work that I can do now to, you know, move the business forward, or move the, you know, financial needle forward? Those were all things that I had to talk to myself about and try to keep my blinders on as much as possible, so I wasn't in this race against everybody else. It was just against myself.
That's the best race, right? Just against you.
Yeah.
That keeps you steadied.
For sure.
Wow.
For sure.
And what can the smart daters here do to support you in your new venture?
Oh gosh, I don't know. Just tell me what you want. Tell me what you need. Tell me if you want it, if you like the conversations we're talking about. Listen to you.
Oh my God.
I think that's important. I think it's important.
Right. Yes.
But if you want me, I'm at Tamsin Fidel on all the platforms. That's where I hang out.
Oh my gosh. And give us, so do you have a good makeup tip? You do so many great makeup tutorials. Like,
Gosh, I'm trying to think of my makeup tips. You know, I'm wearing less now because of TV. Today's not indicative of this because I had a shoot earlier today, but I have, two things that I focus on now. Like, I realize that I am using these eyelash curlers that I've always hated forever. But I feel like if I'm trying to look a little awake, I just do the curlers, mascara, curler again, even though it's a little crunchy, but that helps. And some lip gloss. And I feel like I can get out of the house at least with that. So that's my, like, to do less stuff, because I think that's important. And I think with makeup, just making sure you're not just following in all the trends, because I don't think that the trends always do every, like, they're great for video, but I don't necessarily know that they're realistic for real life, because I don't have that amount of time. And so I think it's important to do what works for you and where you are, and not be comparing yourself to somebody who's, you know, doing it for different reasons.
Well, you always look beautiful, and you're such a beacon for so many people, including me.
Thank you.
I'm so grateful that we've met through Pix, and now we're here, and that we'll do lots of fun chats in the future. So thank you so much for taking the time to tell us about you. And we're super excited for you. And I know you're going to impart so much good knowledge on my listeners and me. And I'm here for all of it. So thank you again for being
here. Thank you. Thank you so much.
We'll have you back for sure.
I would love that.
Smart daters, remember, if you're inspired by this and you need to make a really big leap in your life, maybe it's a leap into business, maybe it's a leap into love, and you've been hemming and hawing, and you've been listening to 130 plus episodes on this podcast since I started it in 2022, I want you to know you are worth whatever you think it is you might not be. As women and men, we invest in so many other people besides ourselves. Take a moment to say, what would bring me joy? What can help me to level up, to get ready to take that leap into whatever pie piece of your life you want to go take that leap? And my counsel to you is, do that thing today. Do it next week. Send me a note. Tell me what you did to take that leap. And as always, listen to this podcast, rate it, share it, write your comments. We read every single one. We love you. And until next week, I bid you adieu. Thanks for listening. And as always, download us, share us, show us the love, follow Instagram at Smart Dating Academy. And if you or someone you know wants to learn more, check out our website at smartdatingacademy.com. We're here to bring you love.